to you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From beautiful Hotel Candelaria in Antigua, Guatemala, my name is Sean Smith, and on behalf of myself and my beautiful wife, Damaris, hello. Welcome to Now is the Time.
It is my privilege to welcome to the Mobile Pro Podcast booth, Stove Crew number
3.
Thank you, guys. I am Daryl Darnell. I'm your host for today's episode, and I am going to have the crew introduce themselves, starting with Brody.
I'm Brody Michael Agard, Arlington, Virginia.
Heather Michael Gard, Arlington, Virginia.
Mara Benson, Hampton, Virginia.
Carmen Bliss, Santa Clara, California.
Jake Michael Gard, Arlington, Virginia.
Bella Bliss, Santa Clara, California.
All right, so we got the Battle of the Coasts.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about Virginia. Do you guys live near each other?
It's like 4 hours apart. About.
Okay. So you're not from the same group?
No.
Okay. That's worth noting, I think. So, well, welcome to the podcast studio. Most of you guys are making a return visit. Jake, your first time. Welcome. You're doing good so far. Your introduction was great, loud, easy to hear. Good job.
Hi.
Looking forward to what you have to say. So, you guys are all veterans. At least this is your second trip, if not more. So what is one thing, if this is possible being here, this is your third time, Mara?
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm sure surprises still happen. So what's one thing that has surprised you most about this mission to Guatemala? Anything different than you expected, or anything maybe different than you've experienced in the past, or than what you thought it would be like? And I'd like to ask Jake first, if you don't mind going first, and this is your very first trip. What do you think so far? What's this trip been like compared to what you thought it might be?
I thought it would be, like harder with the stoves, because the stoves are pretty easy to make.
Bella, what about you?
I guess last year there was not as many kids that needed clothes, I guess. But I see how we saw a lady today who had 7 kids. And only could afford 2 tickets. So I'm seeing, like, more of the need of clothes for people who live here. Last year, we didn't really see a lot of that. We saw a lot of the kids. Yeah, that's basically a little different.
I was with Heather last year, and I saw something today that I don't remember seeing last year. Maybe I just forgot it. But when we arrived this morning to Corazón de los Niños, there was a massive line down the block of mothers and their children waiting to get those clothes that Bella was just talking about. Did I misremember that?
No.
I don't remember that from last year.
You're absolutely right, Daryl. I said the same thing to someone today. I'm like, maybe I was talking to you, but I had never seen the actual donations in action. And maybe there just wasn't enough people that...
We had a small group last year in our group.
Right, but yeah, I never saw the line go out the door. And so it was cool to see it. And I even saw some of the kids leave with clothes that we had brought that were our son's clothes at one point. And it was fun to know those kids. And
did someone get the Boise State Broncos sweatshirt?
I didn't see that yet, but it was good to see, you know, the kids that you had met taking your clothes home, and you knew they were going to a good place.
So I ended up talking to Lillian at the end of the day, who's the director of Corazón de los Niños, and she said they had served 101 kids today.
Wow. With donations.
With donations. That's just today.
Yeah.
And it looked like nothing was even gone.
Right.
Yeah, last year, our group, I was with Heather and Brody Michael Gard last year, and I think there was about 15 of us in our group, and that included the sponsors and maybe somewhere around that number anyway. So this year we had like 40. So the amount of donations that we poured into Corazón de los Niños was just unlike anything I'd seen. This is only my second trip. It is amazing. I was blown away by the volume of donations that are there.
Just to add to that, I feel like as we, you know, my first year, you don't know what to bring. You kind of are, you know, clueless on what to bring, or you go off the list. And I think as you come, you're more aware of the necessities here. So we've gotten better about our packing as we're coming. You know, I think in general as a group, I've seen that.
That
we've gotten better on the things that we're packing. We are getting to know the people and their needs, which is great.
That's cool. Yeah, we get a good list to work off of. Mm-hmm. Sean and Thelma Reese do a great job of providing us with a list. But, yeah, you definitely learn, and you get better next time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Brody, this is your next time, right? You were here last year. Mm-hmm. You've got aged a year, and you've got the experience of last year to bring with you for this year. But what's it like? What's it been like? Is it the same as last year, or is there something different that you've seen?
There were a lot more people, and we went to different places,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of people in our groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Than last
year. Yeah, definitely, which is cool. I mean, with bigger numbers, the more volunteers we have come, the bigger impact we can make in this country. These people are so wonderful. They're beautiful people. The beautiful families. They're so giving and caring and loving. And yet, you know, compared to what we see around us every day at home, they have nothing. And you would just, I get so much from these families. We've all talked about how much we brought and gave to them, but they're giving me so much more. That's going to, you know, I get to take home with me. All right, Mara, I haven't forgotten about you.
This is totally unrelated to what we do, but we were talking on the way back to the hotel today, how many more exercise groups and like people running we've seen today. And that's just a bizarre kind of cultural thing. Cause you see people in the States running and working out all the time. And I've never seen that here. And so it's been interesting. Like every morning there's a couple people running. And today we saw a whole group of people like stretching, like they were serious.
I saw that. I was like, was that a yoga group we just passed?
Yeah, it was just not something that I ever expected to see here. So yeah. Something different.
Bella?
And then last year I noticed a lot more stray dogs.
Mm-hmm.
This year I haven't noticed a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It might be maybe because last year was my first year and I was all like aware.
Oh, sure.
Where all the dogs. But I haven't seen a lot of them lately.
Mm.
You also noticed a lot of dogs on leashes, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
Just more people maybe can afford or maybe can have a pet.
I've been in two homes so far this week, one yesterday, one today, where they had a pet dog. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember seeing any last year. And one was a schnauzer. I was like, wow, I don't remember seeing a schnauzer around. Because most of them look like mutts or, you know, just a mix of breeds. And he was very friendly.
That's nice.
All right, so talking about the homes, I just mentioned a couple of them that I was in had dogs, but let's talk about some of the homes that you guys have visited either today or yesterday was our, because we're recording this on Tuesday, if I've got my days right. Mm-hmm. So yesterday was our training day. So what have you guys seen in the homes? And this, you guys came in yesterday afternoon. I say you guys, I'm talking about Bella and Carmen. So I don't know at what point you came in yesterday and what you got to participate in yesterday, but tell us about the houses that you've been in so far. And why don't we start with you, Carmen?
Okay, I'll start, I guess, with the first house. So because we were late yesterday, today was my first house. And we got picked up. A couple came to the center first to get donations, and they were an older couple. They were like the cutest thing, like taking mm-hmm. care of each other. They could barely walk. Mm. I mean, I would say maybe in their 70s, even older, in their 80s. And so we were coming into their home to install the stove. And she was just really nice from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we installed the stove, and she had called her son-in-law to help us just in case we needed help. And we ended up needing his help for a couple of things, which was great. And she was just the sweetest thing. I think, I don't know how many times she said, thank you, and I appreciate it, and God's going to bless you. You know, God's going to pay you for this. I can't pay you, but God's going to pay. But she was just so appreciative about it. And we ended up praying together. We asked her, you know, one of the things that I learned this year was to ask for prayer requests. That's something that I didn't do last year. And so we were coming into her house and saying, we're going to pray, you know, for your stove, and then you have a lot of food on the stove, but do you have any special prayer requests? And she had said, for our health. You know, they're getting older, their legs are, you know, they're slowing down, their legs are hurting. So we prayed for that. So I saw her at a VBS. She had taken her grandkids. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her how she was doing. And she said, I made dinner on my stove. Mm-hmm. And she told me that she had made caldo, which is like a stew in Mexico and Guatemala. It's like a stew. And she had made chicken caldo. And then she said that at some point her husband and her was sitting at the table, which is where what stove is at that we installed. And she said that her husband had made the comment of, isn't it nice to eat without the smoke around?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they had been doing that for years. I mean, here they are in their 70s, right?
Mm-hmm. Man.
So it was amazing. That was mm-hmm. It was a great first house.
That's a very, I'm like tearing up over it. It's a very moving story. What else? Well, I mean, I don't know if we can beat that story, but let's certainly get another.
Yes, we can.
Oh, all right. Heather's got her hand up.
Well, you want me to go into the good one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, so our second home today, which was Brody, Jake, and Mara and I's third home, there was a widow mother of seven, and her husband had just died of an appendicitis while she was pregnant with her twin girls. So, I mean, and this was coming from this lovely old couple where Carmen and I are sobbing, and I couldn't even understand this old woman, and she made me cry. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just her love was radiating from her. So we went from there to this young, I say young woman, I'm sure she's 30s maybe. Mm-hmm. And she just, when Carmen spoke with her, she just said, you know, God will provide, God will take care of us. I mean, she wasn't... woe is me. She was amazing and so grateful and had a beautiful home, tile in the kitchen. I noticed right away this very large farm table with like six chairs around it with a mother with seven children. That makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. Her little boy who was five, Carlos, was there. And then we all got to hold her amazing baby girls that were 4 months old, and they had these big chipmunk cheeks, and they were so cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all had a different experience with them, but they were lovely family, and the stove was very easy to install. Bella knocked that knife into the roof right away, broke through to create the hole for the stove pipe, which is usually the hardest part. Mm-hmm. It was a great family, and the oldest son is helping them with the money, and he's working, and the mother also cooks and sells the food for money. But he came home for a second to use the restroom and then put the sombrero on the top for us, and it was a great day. We actually stopped installing the stove so that we could all have our baby time, and and even Jake held the baby, and you liked that little girl, huh?
We even brought her to the center.
Mm-hmm. We did. Maybe Mara could talk about that.
So as we were kind of talking to her and getting to know the mother of the house, she told us she had seven kids and was telling us, like, these two are in school, these ones are here, etc. And then she explained that she was only able to afford two tickets for clothing. And what we mean by tickets, for those of you that don't know, Corazón de los Niños requires the family to pay so they have skin in the game. To get them to buy into what is doing. It's not a handout, which has worked very well for them. And so as soon as she said that, we all kind of looked at each other and we're like, we can't let that happen. Like, this, after she had said, like, my husband died, all these things, we're like, if it's a money thing, like, we've got it, we'll buy the tickets for her. And then she explained that her day for donations was the next day, and she couldn't take off work. So she had spent that money, and she wasn't going to be able to go anyway. So we're like, no, 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 like, you're coming with us. And so we finished installing the stove. We strapped the babies onto us, and, I mean, I got to carry the one, like, the Guatemalan women, how they tie them onto them. And we brought them back with us, and Carmen was able to talk to the donations and Lillian and say, like, hey, this is what's going on. And the whole family got clothes, new shoes. Mm-hmm. The mom even got clothes. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, and we saw her later at VBS with two of her boys, I think. Mm-hmm. It was hard to recognize her because mm-hmm. she had taken a bath and was wearing her new clothes. And this was like 3 hours later. And we were talking on the way home how it's like, it's, to us, new clothes are something that you get all the time. Like, something's old, you give it away or throw it away, and you get something new. And she was so proud that she couldn't even wait till the next day. She was mm-hmm. walked right home, cleaned those kids up, changed their clothes. And so it was just, it felt really, really good. Because it was, she was one of those people you knew, like, she really needs this. Yeah. And to be able to help her. And, yeah, it was good. And, I mean, holding babies is fun, too. Yeah. But it was really, and she, I mean, they got a whole huge bag of clothes for the babies. And it was a very good experience.
That's an amazing story. I don't know how Sean does this. I'm over here just wiping my eyes left and right. Sean, how do you do this? And that just, okay. Amazing stories. Kids, I want to hear from you guys. What are some of the things that you've seen in the homes so far? Or maybe some of the experiences that you've had that have made an impact on you? Let me call you guys up. Brody, you've been quiet for a while. We'll start with you. You want to take a minute to think? We can come back to you. Okay, Bella's ready. Okay.
So this isn't really about what I've seen in the houses, but when we were in the second lady's house, how we said before that when we were in the first lady's house, we asked her what she needed to pray for. So in the second lady's house, we asked her what she wanted to pray for. And instead of saying, "Oh, my family, I need some prayers," she said, "Oh, I need some prayers for my mom. My mom is getting diabetes, and I want some prayers." And, like, I'm over here looking at my mom like, like, I'd be like, "Please pray for me." Like, you know, and over she's saying, like, "Pray for my mom." Like, just how, like, generous she is. Instead of thinking about herself, she's thinking about other people. And I've noticed that a lot in the culture, about how they're very caring about, like, supporting others. Yeah.
Yeah, cool story. Jake, you got one?
Yeah. Okay. So when we go to, like, the center, if anyone has a hat, we play, like, hat dodgeball. And, like, when we went to VBS, like, we kept playing hat tag. And the people that came on the mission wanted to get the Guatemalans so they could actually have fun. And when you play hat dodgeball, you would get, like, 2 lives. You get, like, shield and health.
Oh, so it's you guys have upped the rules.
It's a new game that you're playing with him.
And right? If you get 2 catches, the person that got out, like, first is back in.
And it's amazing how the Guatemalan children and the American children, I mean, it's just like this kid language. I don't know how they do it. There's a total language barrier, but they've figured out how to play this game, and they jump right in, and they know, like, it's amazing to watch that they don't need to talk to each other, but they're playing this game, and it's intense, and they all know what's going on, and we don't even know what's going on half the time, so.
That's right.
Really awesome to see.
I think that game started last year with our group, with Maddox.
Yeah.
Maddox is a bundle of energy, and he brought this hat last year, and I don't know how it started. Brody, you were here. Maybe you know. It's this hat dodgeball is exactly what it is. And you're right. I mean, the language barrier doesn't matter. They figured out, and it's they're all speaking the same language when they're playing this game, which is really cool. Brody, do you have a story you want to share? No? That's fine. Let's talk about maybe... And I don't know if you've already given me so many great stories. And it's, the week is early, but it's been there. Is there anything else that's happened this week so far? Maybe even among the team. I'd like to. I'm not supposed to speak. This is your time, but I have to say, Carmen, this is my first time getting to know you, and Mara as well. Both of you guys are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmen, watching you do the games today,
yes,
it's a gift. I mean, the way you communicate. Switching back and forth instantly between English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sight to behold.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
So thank you for being here and exercising your gifts with all of us and the Guatemalan kids. And so that was really cool for me. I don't know. Any other stories from the trip so far that you want to share? Like I said, we already kind of had some good ones.
The houses have, like, they don't have, like, some of them have, like, walls, but, like, the roofs are, like, made out of these scraps. And, like, it's, and they have, like, little holes in them. And we use, like, this red, like, thingy
silicone.
We use this red silicone to cover up the holes, so the smoke just goes, like, out of their house.
And for the rain, too, to block the rain.
And, like, some of the houses have, like, all just little scraps around them.
Quite a bit different than your house at home, isn't it?
Yeah, very different.
So this isn't really a story, but it's something that I saw. So when we were at the second lady's house, I saw that she had used these bags to cover a little opening in her house. And she was telling us that she put it there because of all the volcanic ash. It was starting to come in. So she said that she wanted to block it out. And it kind of just shows how they're so resourceful, like anything they have. And we were also at the first house. And there was a hole in the lamina, and we couldn't quite get to it from underneath. So there was a guy who climbed the roof to go put some on. So we were about to hand him the glove, like, to put it on. And he had already had a piece of plastic on his, like from, like, a bag or something, a piece of plastic on his finger. He was all ready to go, and he told Mara, no, no, no. Like, he was like,
I got this.
It just shows how, like, how anything they got, they find a purpose for it. And we're like, when over here, we're like, oh, no, you can throw that away. We won't use it. But, like, how over here, they're just like, no, 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 keep that. We'll use it. Like,
and they do use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of us who are a little older than you, my grandparents' generation, they were kind of that way. They grew up in an era where you needed to be resourceful and you didn't take anything for granted. If you had something, food, they didn't throw food away. They found a second use for it or a third use for it, or they kept things. And I think you're right. We live in now in the United States, it's a disposable society that we live in. So that's a good lesson I think we can take back home with us and put back into action. Anything else from you guys? This is my left-hand side of the table.
I would just say last year, Daryl, you remember, we had such a small, close group, and we all kind of knew each other, and it was great. And I remember being a little nervous and leery about coming back this year when I knew there was going to be 40 people or 38, I don't know how many. And, you know, what's today, Tuesday? I mean, already it's amazing. Like, this group is incredible. And, you know, I've already had a chance to at least have one conversation with everybody. And it's different, but it's good. And I think, you know, whether you come with a ton of people or a few people, it's, you know, the reason why we're here and just the things that we get to do. And it's the community that we built together, and we're all kind of like-minded, and it's been wonderful. So
I want to add to that, because we have a little story about that too. So Bella and I are week two, and all of our friends came week one. So Bella and I are traveling by ourselves, and didn't know what to expect by ourselves. And we knew that we knew a couple of people here, like the Nices and Judy and Nancy and Garland. But other than that, you know, we had like 21 people from the church last week. And we couldn't make it because we had a prior commitment with a softball tournament. And so when we decided to sign up, because there was talk about not coming, just because it might not work into our schedule, we said, and then, you know, are we going because we're going with friends, which is great to serve with friends, or are we going because we want to just serve? Is the bottom line that we want to serve? And Bella and I had that conversation. We decided that we wanted to serve. It didn't matter what we came, we came. So we were a little bit about coming in and, like, meeting new people, but we were excited about it too, right? Just meeting new people that had the same kind of desire to serve and teach that to their kids, which is great. So, but I agree with Heather. I feel like it's been day one for me, and I already feel like we've bonded a lot, you know? So it's been great.
I feel the same way. I was with Heather last year. I have social anxiety when I have to meet and talk to new people. It freaks me out. Once I get to know you, no big deal. But that initial idea of talking to someone for the first time just freaks me right out. And so, and adding has it too. And so we talked about gosh, this is a lot of people this year. What are we going to do? Well, we at least know that group of people. Maybe we don't have to talk to, not that we wouldn't, but it was just like, we were like trying to reassure ourselves that everything would be okay. But yeah, day two, and you guys are awesome people. You know, why was there ever any doubt or any anxiety? I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe that's the message. If you're wondering, like you, Carmen and Belle, like, oh, it'll just be the two of us. I don't know all these people from, I don't have a group of people that I'm coming with from church, or I don't have a group of podcasters that I know from this circle of friends. You know what? After day one, it'll be all right. You know, so if we can do it, you can do it too.
I mean, I'm here by myself. Like, I know people from previous years, but like, none of my family. And I mean, the first time I came here, I didn't know anybody, and I was here by myself. And I mean, it was scary, and it was like, am I going to be on this island by myself? And like you guys have said, from day one, it's like, nope, we're a family. We're all in this together. So that fear is definitely one that's easy to get over, because it's like right away that everyone's very accepting, very loving, and makes it feel like it's worthwhile to come and step past that.
All right. Well, as we begin to wrap up here, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with anyone who's listening, who may be interested in joining? That might be a great segue into that, since what we just talked about.
You're gonna have to install, like, team will get to install 5 stoves, and like, but that team is like people that has like a lot of people. Because they have like people that like have done this before, so they would do it fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say it's the most rewarding experience, and you know, it's what we can give to the families, but it's also what the families can give to us. Just walking down the streets in Guatemala and knowing that everyone I pass is going to look me in the eye and say buenos dias makes me from Idaho so happy, because in Washington, D.C., people don't say hi to you. And they're just nice people. And we can do so much in such a little time. And just bringing 2 50-pound bags of clothes with us on that airplane is worth so much to them. So it's you just have to do it, though. I mean, it's the whole someday conversation. There's never going to be a great time in our lives. We are busy. There's always other commitments that may or may not come up. But now is the time. Like, just do it. you will not be disappointed, and you will not regret it.
Totally agree.
Just to add to that, I just want to say how safe it's been to travel with Bella. And that was one of my biggest fears, was not me, but that traveling with my daughter who's underage. And then watching this week, how many kids are here with their parents. So if you're thinking about, you know, if that's maybe what is stopping you from coming, that you're not sure if you are safe traveling with your kids, we just want to reassure you that it is a safe place. They do a really good job making sure that we stay safe and we stay in groups, and we all kind of watch over each other's kids, and the kids are very involved in what we're doing and every aspect that we're doing. So I just kind of wanted to comment that, because I know for me, that was a big fear before coming.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. It's true. We've got 2 8-year-olds with us this year, all the way up to, I mean, I guess you stopped being a kid at 18, but then we go all the way up. I mean, my daughter's 15. Brody, you're 10. Yeah. Bella?
11.
And everything in between. So definitely a family environment, safe for kids. So no fears. We even have some that have food allergies that are here this week. Some severe food allergies. Bella, I didn't know that. So it's safe.
And we have fun. I mean, all of us here at this table, right before dinner, ran to get money, Consolas, out of the ATM, and then ran to the bread bakery that has this amazing banana bread and chocolate bread and mango bread. And then we're like, we're going to be late for dinner on our podcast. So we were like running through these cobblestone streets, and it is so safe and it's fun.
But first we stopped at like this place where you just like walk in you tell them what you want and they just like give it to you. And and you could get like chips and soda.
Yeah, that was neat.
Cool. Yep, Bella?
So, like, before I came last year, it was my first year, I had heard so much about this trip. And you really don't know what the experience is until you do it. Mm-hmm. And when you do it, you get so much out of it. You get, like, I remember coming back last year, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that I need to be grateful for. I need to be grateful for this. And then, like, you just look at all the things, and, like, I'm not saying you compare it to what you have, like, what they have, but, like, it really gives, like, your mind a little twist. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, my goodness, like, this I should be thankful for. Or, like, you know, like, food. We should be, like, thankful. But, like, most people before this trip, you're like, oh, it's food. I have food every night, mm-hmm. every day. But, like, they really don't know. You must have to experience the other side to know.
Yeah. I think that's a great way to end the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on behalf of Sean and Damaris, Lillian, and Corazón de los Niños, thank you for your service to our Lord and to His children here in Guatemala. And thank you for sharing your stories on the podcast. Adios.
Adios.
So that's all the time we have for now from Antigua, Guatemala. If you'd like more information about our mission, team photos, audio podcasts, blog posts, or even YouTube videos, visit our mission website at nowisthetimeformissions.com. That's nowisthetimeformissions.com. And until next time, this is Sean Smith saying Dios te bendiga, may God bless you. Vaya con Dios, go with God. Pero no inmediatamente.